in John chapter 8, reading verses 31 to 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is God's word. We've been in a series this fall entitled Finding Freedom, and we come now to the end of that series. It's the final sermon in that series. Claude will be back from sabbatical next week. As I was reflecting on how to end this series, there were a lot of different ways we could have gone, but just decided to try to wrap it up and sort of point the way forward. Now what? So it's sort of a so what kind of a sermon. We've looked at a lot of different things, a lot of different ways that Christ has set us free. We've been really trying to unpack this passage that we just read in John chapter 8, which Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And I hope, my prayer has been that through this series you've come to believe that you can be free, and maybe God has shown you in ways that you need to be set free and appropriate that freedom. A lot of us struggle to believe that we can be free, and then even when we believe that, we struggle to see how that needs to happen in each of our lives. We've talked about many of those different ways that Christ sets us free. We've talked about freedom from sin's penalty, its presence and its power in our lives, free from the past, free from other people, free from other powers, free from the law, etc. I want us to really think today, not so much of the different ways that Christ has set us free, but how? How does Christ do that? Because we haven't really covered all the different ways that we can be free, but they all have one thing in common. It's the same methodology, the same sort of how-to, and that's found here in this passage in John chapter 8. So the question before us is, okay, if Christ has set us free from all these many different things, how do we appropriate that? Several years ago, a movie came out about a racehorse entitled Seabiscuit. It's a true story, based on a true story, a book by the same name. Very talented and accomplished racehorse named Seabiscuit. But when that horse started out, it was kind of unruly. So the owners, there's a scene in the movie where the owners are at the racetrack. And they're there with the new trainer, and they're watching the horse kind of run in a zigzagged way down the track. And the owners look at the trainer and say, "Seems pretty fast." And the trainer says, "Yeah, in every direction. He's so beat up, it's hard to tell what he's like. I just can't help feeling they got him so messed up running in a circle that he's forgotten what he was born to do. He just needs to learn how to be a horse again." And the owner says, "Well, how do you do that?" And the next scene is they're out in the woods, this beautiful scenery, trees and fields, this just gorgeous setting. They've got the horse there, and he's there. The jockey's on there. And the jockey looks at the trainer and says, "How far do you want me to take him?" And he says, "Till he stops." And then he just takes off running across the fields, the creeks, the fences, the trees, all that's blazing by. The horse was learning how to be a horse again, how to not be just whatever it wants to be, but to be what it was created to be. I really can't think of a better description for many Christians. A lot of us are so messed up, running around in circles, really fast, going in every direction, but we're not really doing what we're created to be, being the men and women that God designed us to be. We've forgotten how to be people. We've forgotten how to be free, or perhaps we never knew. Maybe we were born in that imprisoned state and we've never known what it's like to be free. So the question before us today is, how do we do that? And I think this passage tells us four things about how we do that. First of all, we have to know that we're in prison. Second, we have to know the Son. The third thing is we have to know the Son's kind of freedom. And the fourth is we have to know the Son's voice. Know we're in prison, know the Son, know the Son's kind of freedom, and then know the Son's voice. The first thing to be free that we all have to know is that know that we're in prison. We are bound by things. Jesus in this passage is talking to Christians. He says in verse 31, says Jesus said to the Jews who what? Who had believed in him. So they had accepted Jesus Christ. They had accepted Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. They believed and put their trust in him. They had become Christians. Now, they were young believers. They had just become Christians. So here they were at the very beginning of their Christian walk and their Christian life. And Jesus says, okay, now I want to talk to you about freedom. Freedom. And their response is kind of shocking. They say, look, we're children of Abraham. We've never been enslaved. We're not bound to anyone. We've never been in prison. What are you talking about? And we sort of want to say back to them, what are you talking about? Because they just said, we're Jews and children of Abraham. What's the big event in the Old Testament that the Jews still celebrate today at Passover? The Exodus, right? That's what they celebrate, their freedom from Egypt when they were brought out of slavery, brought out of that imprisonment. But they can't even see it. And that tells us something very important, that if we're going to be free, we first have to see how we're imprisoned, how we are enchained. So they said in verse 33, we're offspring of Abraham, and we've never been a slave to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free? Well, some of us may be saying the same thing, maybe saying, well, look, these have been very nice sermons and everything, and appreciate what you've done, and preaching while Claude's been away and all that, and that's been nice, but I'm not imprisoned. I'm not bound by things. Well, everyone is, because the passage goes on to say everyone who sins is enslaved to sin. It binds us. That's part of the nature of sin, is that when we sin, it gets its claws in us. It puts fences around us. Everyone is imprisoned. Everyone is bound. So the question is not if, but how. How are you in prison? See how you specifically have been in prison. And that's God. We need God to tell us that. Maybe it is sin's guilt or its presence and power. Maybe it's doubt or perfectionism. Maybe it is the past or lies. Maybe it's moralism or other powers or other people or strongholds. Maybe it's something we haven't been able to cover in this series. Some people have suggested some really good sermons that we didn't get to. Freedom from ourselves. Free from death. That's part of it. This wonderful passage in the Westminster Confession of Faith is printed for you at the beginning of the worship. It's sort of our theme passage from the confession. It talks about the final imprisonment, the final thing that we're all freed from is death. This is so important because all of us need to know. And so what do? We invite the Spirit. We invite God to come in and show us. This is why we put in at the beginning of our prayer time earlier in the service that passage from Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting life. Lord, you come in and show me. We become so accustomed to ourselves in the imprisonment and the prisons in which we're bound, that we think that's home. We're like that racehorse who thinks that his life is meant to be lived on a track with fences. And we don't know that we're bound. We don't know that we're in prison. The first thing we have to know that we're imprisoned. And that's between you and the Lord. I can't see that for you. You're going to have to work that out with the Lord. But the Spirit comes and He shows us that. The second thing each of us need to know is you have to know the Son. Jesus says in verse 36 in this passage, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, this begins with saving faith, believing in the Son. And they did. They had already done that. Verse 31 tells us that, as we've already said. But what Jesus reiterates to them is that Jesus is not just the beginning of their freedom. He's the ongoing key to their freedom. Only the Son can set us free. We're not set free by a message. We're not set free by a church or a denomination. We're not set free by a book or a retreat or other people. We're not set free by a preacher. We're not set free by a small group or a Sunday school class. We're not set free by a tradition or music. We're not set free by an act or a practice. Baptism doesn't set us free. It symbolizes that, but it doesn't do it. But the mere presence of Christ, when received by faith, when He comes in, He frees. There cannot be slavery and imprisonment, and there cannot be binding where Jesus is. There may be some external things that block us, but there's true freedom wherever Christ is, because He makes us free. And when you become a Christian, you're immediately freed from all sin's guilt, past, present, and future. And then what happens is, because Christ is within us, because His Spirit and His presence is within us, we begin this ongoing exploration of freedom, this ongoing journey of learning how to be free. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. How is He with us? Well, it's the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and it's through His Holy Spirit, it's Christ's Spirit, that actually comes and lives within us. This is why Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ Himself lives within us, and it's through that presence that we begin to know freedom. So many of us try to do it ourselves. We try to break ourselves out, or we try to go to some other science or psychology or some other methodology, something earthly. We go to other people. We go to institutions. We go to authors and speakers and retreats, and we're just searching everywhere, high and low, for somebody that's going to be able to set us free, somebody that's got the keys. And it's not to say that those things, those people and institutions can't help us, but they're only helpful insofar as they bring us the Son. If they bring us the Son, then they have power. We can't be free without a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There is no freedom apart from Him. There is no freedom in this world apart from Him. There's nothing in this world that will do it. He's the only way. But the good news is that He's done it. So there was a day in the life of this world, in the history of this world, 2,000 years ago, 6,500 miles away on this planet in Jerusalem, that the Son of God was nailed to a cross. And He died. He did it freely. He gave up Himself. He allowed Himself willingly to be broken and put on the altar. And when He did that, that broke the power of sin and death over you and over me. Sufficient to save the whole world. On that day, the yoke of sin over the human race was broken forever. That's the only answer. The answer had to come from the outside. It was nothing here. Jesus had to come from heaven, and when He came down, He was broken for you and for me on the cross. There is no such thing as forgiveness. There's no such thing as freedom apart from Jesus Christ. All we have to do is say yes. That's what faith is. Faith is just saying, yes, I accept that, Jesus. I see what You did, and I want that. if you have not yet become a Christian, then don't close your eyes tonight without dealing with this. Don't go to sleep tonight without saying yes to Jesus. All you have to do is say, Lord, I see it. I'm in prison. I'm bound by sin. I'm bound by sin's guilt. I agree with you. I've tried to fashion out life apart from you. I've tried to do it without you. I've tried to live life without you. I've tried to do it on my own and survive. And I see now that I can't do it. I get that. I don't want to run from you anymore. I want to come home. I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to live my life with you and like I know I was meant to live it. And so you say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender it all, everything, my past, my present, my future. I give it all to you. I leave it all with you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I want to be free. The good news is, Jesus says, finally. That's why I came. The good news is, the Lord hears that and he says, I am faithful and I will do that. I will come in and set you free. Let's do this. And he's ready. If you've not done this, don't close your eyes tonight without getting on your knees before the Father and saying yes to Jesus. You have to know you're in prison and you have to know personally the Son. And you do that by receiving him by faith. The third thing that to know freedom is that we have to know the Son's kind of freedom. The Son's kind of freedom. He says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free, what? Indeed. That word in the Greek means truly, really, in accordance with the reality, certainly, in truth, you'll be free. And what Jesus is saying here is that even after we become a Christian, we can go off into counterfeit ways to be free. We can still go to other things. Well, this thing is going to do it, or this person is going to do it, or this system is going to do it, this study is going to do it. If I just do these things, as opposed to coming to Jesus Christ, then this is going to do it. And we find ourselves working really hard on a system that doesn't have the power. It's a false kind of freedom. When you're imprisoned, when we find ourselves in prison, we're desperate to get out. We're desperate to be free. And one of the things that we are willing to do is to cut a deal. We'll cut a deal with money or with power or with relationships if I just do these things. And that's a sinister deal. You may say, well, if I just get enough money, I'll be free. And I won't have to be bound by all these people in my life. But the wealthy will tell you, money's not the way to freedom. They'll tell you it's just a different kind of prison. Or they say, well, this person has hurt me and I'm in this prison of pain, so I'm just going to cut them out of my life. I'm going to cut people off. I'm going to cut relationships out of my life, or that particular relationship. All you do is create another kind of prison. True freedom is a freedom to become what God designed us to be, what he wants us to be, to follow his path. And Jesus is the only way that knows how to do that. Counterfeit freedom is when we look to others. We rely on other people or other powers greater than ourselves. And we say, you give me that power. And those other powers and other people, whether we know it or not, we cut a deal with them. They say, okay, we'll make you free. But just like every other idol, it just leads to more imprisonment. We have to know the Son's kind of freedom, true freedom. And this is a constant battle for us as Christians to go after that which is true and not what's false. We have to know we're in prison. We have to know the Son. We have to know the Son's kind of freedom. And the fourth and final thing, and this is so important, we have to know the Son's voice. You have to know the Son's voice. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My word, the truth that I'm speaking to you, that's what's going to set you free. Jesus says that the truth spoken personally by him, revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken in his word, when we take His Word, and it's not just a lifeless Word, it's not just words on the page, but we listen to it as if it's coming from the very mouth of Jesus Christ personally, into our lives personally, when we receive it by faith and listen by faith, that's how we begin to walk the path of freedom. How do we become free? By listening to and abiding in the words of Jesus Christ. It's what's called listening obedience. Listening, that's almost redundant to say listening obedience, because listening is obedience. Okay, you can't really listen if you're not obeying. And a lot of us don't understand that. We say, "Well, you know the word. Yeah, I know the word. Are you listening to the word? Yep, I know it. I know it really well." But that doesn't mean they're really listening. If a parent says to one of their children, "I need you to unload the dishwasher. Will you please unload the dishwasher?" And that child says, "Yes." And then if you don't hear fairly soon some dishes clinking and some silverware rattling around, then they haven't listened, right, parents? They haven't listened. You say, "Did you hear what I said?" "Yep, I got it. Message received. You want me to unload the dishwasher." But they're not doing it. That's not listening. Okay, that's comprehending. That's understanding. Okay, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying if you comprehend my word. He's not saying if you understand my word. He says if you abide in it, if you listen, if you receive it. Listening means doing. Listening means following. Listening means believing. And so we take God's word and we say, "Lord, okay, what do you want me to do?" And let me tell you, when you read God's word, it's going to be one of two things. "Lord, what do you want me to believe?" Or, "Lord, what are you calling me to do?" It's one of those two things. What are you asking me to believe here? Or what are you asking me to do? Where are you asking me to follow? That's what listening is. And so we take God's word. We take His living word and we sit in His presence and we read, and we don't just study. We don't just dissect. We don't just read what other people say. Then we stop and we listen. Okay, Lord, now I'm listening. What are you saying to me personally here in this passage? And in listening, you see, we enter into this wonderful exchange program, this lifelong exchange program, where we're talking to the Lord. We're saying, "Lord, this is where I am. This is where I'm in need. This is where I'm struggling. This is where I'm weak." We offer those things to Christ, and then He gives us His word back. He tells us what He wants us to hear and listen to. We offer up to Him our need, and the amazing thing is He has exactly the right response for whatever need that we take Him. We carry these words and these things that we're struggling. We take those to Him and we offer those broken things to Him, and we receive to Him that from Him that which is whole and true and right and good. Historically, Christianity has said that when the indwelling Christ, when Christ comes into us, when we become a Christian, Christ brings five primary things. He brings cleansing from our sin. He brings healing from the effects of sin. He brings illumination, in other words, understanding, wisdom, all right? He brings illumination. He brings guidance and direction. And the fifth thing is if He can bring reconciliation with another person. If there's another person in your life who is also reconciled to God, then you too can be reconciled in your relationships. But it takes both of y'all, okay? But then the question, well, how do I get those things? You begin to walk and listen and talk. You offer to Him and you listen in obedience. Grace is the gift of God's truth and His presence and His action. It's a gift of Christ. Christ's reign becomes expanded into our lives. That's what grace is. It's the coming of Christ to dwell in us as far as the curse is found. We receive that by listening in faith and listening obedience. Why is His word so important? Because His word has power. When he speaks, things happen. When he says, be gone or be healed, those evil things are gone and the sickness is healed. When he says, get up and walk, people get up and walk. So when he says, peace, be still, the storms stop. The words of Jesus Christ have power. His words bring life. Peter himself said, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Some of you may have seen recently in the last couple of weeks this interview or an article about Stephen Colbert, a late night host, who is telling about his conversion to Christianity. He's a Christian. Who knew? And he was raised a Christian, and then he became an atheist, and he left the Lord. And he tells the story of his conversion. He was walking down the street in Chicago, and someone put in his hand a little green Gideon Bible. You remember those little green Gideon Bibles? And in the front and back cover, you know, there's some suggestions. If you need guidance, look at these passages. If you're confused, look at these passages. And so he looked in the back and said, if you're anxious, look at these passages. And he turned to Matthew chapter 5, and he said he read those words, and it was like Jesus himself speaking to him. The weight was lifted, and he became a Christian. Because the words of Jesus Christ, when listened to in faith, have power. God himself said at the Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Are you walking and listening? I don't know if some of you I know are better at this than I am. But some of you may be thinking, well, I don't even know what that looks like. So let me just tell you what it might look like. Okay, first of all, it's centered in his word. We don't listen apart from his word. This is not some ecstatic sort of drop down light coming on that's apart from his word. His word is given to us, but we listen to his word, and it's a personal receiving and application of that. So you may say to the Lord, just taking an instance or an example, say, Lord, this person has hurt me. They betrayed me. They lied to me. This person in my life. And you may hear him, God say, well, I see that. I don't want you to be bound by that. I came to set you free from that. And remember, I was betrayed too. I know what that's like. And you say, well, Lord, I'm having a hard time forgiving that person that betrayed me. He says, I know, I see that. But my plan is for you to forgive them. You say, okay, well, Lord, how do I do that? How do I forgive this person? He says, well, first, do you see that what this person did to you, you've also done to me? This person betrayed you, but you've betrayed me so many times. And I've forgiven you. I love you. And you may say, well, okay, Lord, I see that. And he may say, you may hear him saying, well, can you also see that I died to pay for your betrayal? That I paid for that person's betrayal as well? So that neither of you will be bound by that. You say, yes, Lord, I see that. And you may hear him say, okay, well, can you see that I have more reason to be hurt by this person's betrayal of you than you do? I'm really the one that should be upset, yet I've forgiven him. You say, yes, Lord, I see that too. And he may say, okay, well, give me this betrayal. Give me this person's sin. Let me carry it. You say, wait a minute, Lord, give it to you? He says, yes, yield it to me. I'll take it. I'll carry it. I'll lift it. I have the power to lift this sin that's holding you. Let me carry it. Let me deal with it. I'll sort it out. I have the wisdom and the power, even though it was done to you. You say, okay, Lord, here it is. I give it to you. Now what do I do? He said, well, now you forgive them and you love them. As I forgive them and as I love them. You say, wait a minute, Lord. I can't love them and I can't forgive them. I don't have the power and strength to do that. He says, well, I do. I have the power to do that. Take my power. Let my power live in you. Let me love that person through you. You just receive my power. You receive my strength. Take my love for them. Take my forgiveness for them. It's greater. And let that live in you. You say, well, Lord, I'm tired. He says, receive my power. Lord, I'm confused. Let me teach you. I don't know which way to go. He says, follow me. Whatever it is, whatever need we have, Jesus says, here. Let me take your need and receive from me my power.
Why is this true? Because the presence and the power and the voice of Jesus Christ are mysteriously one. When we receive His voice, when we accept His power in His presence, freedom happens. Freedom happens. How do we become free? Seems pretty fast. Yeah, in every direction. They're so beat up, it's hard to tell what they're like. I just can't help feeling they've gotten so messed up running in circles, living in prisons, that they've forgotten what they were born to do. They just need to learn how to be free again. Well, how do you do that? Well, know you're in prison. Know the Son. Know the Son's kind of freedom and not a fake, false kind. And know the Son's voice and listen in obedience to Him. Let's pray. Father, You have sent Jesus Christ to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. We ask now that You would come and heal and free us in our brokenness and imprisonment right here wherever we are. That You would give us grace to listen obediently and to walk after You. And Lord Jesus, where Your voice is dim, we ask that You would help us to hear clearly Your voice above every other voice in this world, every other voice that screams at us for attention. Father, help us to hear it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.